stats, analysis, and the game stats so far. It's time for the Halftime Huddle on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Mosaic Stadium. I'm Pete Pascoe. Welcome to the Halftime Huddle as well, brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. They are the best in the bidding business. McDougallAuction.com. At the half, not exactly an offensive barn burner. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the two-time defending Grey Cup champs, leading the Saskatchewan Roughriders 3-0 on the basis of a 18-yard Mark Leggio field goal. Based on some of the adventures Winnipeg had last year, Rob Van Stone, I mean, making a field goal is probably a pretty big deal for those guys.
Yeah, those clutch 18-yard field goals. I'm not sure we can fill an entire segment talking about all the scoring in the first two periods or first two quarters. We've got hockey on the brain tonight with the Oilers and Avalanche going, but the Bombers have been inside the Riders' 10-yard line three times and don't have a point to score for that, and then they get the field goal from the 11. The field has really been tilted in terms of in favor of Winnipeg. The total yardage, 246 for the Bombers, 113 for Saskatchewan. Bombers are racking up a lot of yards with their quarterbacks running the ball.
Yeah, Prokop has shown a definite ability, an escapability to get out of the line of fire, but he's not so much accurate with his arm, at least not so far this game.
No, I like Drew Brown's throwing arm a lot more. He got the ball into tight coverage a few times. None of this will be even remotely memorable by Thursday, but
that's true.
In the short term, while we're discussing this, that much has been impressive. Haven't had a chance to really see much of the Rough Riders passing game. There hasn't been much of one. Neither Mason Fine nor Jake Dolagala really had an opportunity to do much, although the knee was executed perfectly by Troy Williams on the last play.
He may have the inside track.
I guess the big positive offensively for the Rough Riders would seem to be the running game.
Yes. With
William Powell now in Ottawa, they need someone to be the featured tailback. Jamal Morrow had some nice runs early and featured in today's Regina Leader Post, Frankie Hickson.
Very nice.
With three really nice runs. And I'm kind of surprised he's flown a bit under the radar considering the way he played at Liberty University. Two 1,000-yard seasons in 2019. His offensive coordinator was somebody named Ken Austin.
I've heard him.
And what I've really noticed about these running games, these two running backs so far, is they really hit top speed very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we didn't see the last few years with the Riders running game, which seemed a lot more ponderous.
Have there been any either pleasant surprises or guys that you thought, well, let's go into this game and see what he's got, and whomever it is has really exceeded expectations? I'm trying to think of somebody at this point in time, and
defense.
I don't have anybody.
Yeah, I mean, the running game is what...
Nelson Lacombo had some great coverage in the first half for the brief time he was in there.
He really did. The Bombers tried one deep pass to the left corner, mm-hmm. and Lacombo was right there. And this is somebody, you know, from listening to CKRM earlier or during training camp, I think the number that was used by Ballsy was that he's playing at about 90%. Well, that's a pretty good 90% the way Nelson Lacombo is moving around.
No kidding. That remaining 10% will be pretty impressive to see. Even though we don't probably talk a lot about Winnipeg Blue Bombers on the home radio broadcast, a Regina guy, Kyle Borsa, got a first look at running back in this game, and catching the ball out of the backfield has not been great for him in this game, but running the ball, he certainly showed a jump.
Well, of the Bombers' first 12 plays from scrimmage, 7 of them, Kyle Borsa touched the ball. He was trapped for a loss a couple of times, so that skews his numbers a bit. If you look at the plays where he actually crossed the line of scrimmage, I think they were pretty productive. He's got 6 carries for 21 yards, which on the surface doesn't look that good, but if you subtract two of the carries where he lost yardage, the average would be well over 5, closer to 6, and he had one run of 17 yards and a nice gain on a short pass as well, 18 yards and a first down. So it's nice to see Kyle Borsa in there doing what I think U of R Rams fans and Canada West football fans are accustomed to seeing from him.
It's so hard to say because these two teams are at different points in their preseason schedule. Winnipeg's playing game number 2. But have you seen anything to indicate they're not, at least going into the season, the class of the West again?
Well, I just look at their roster and you would think they would be. I was talking to Jeff Hamilton of the Winnipeg Free Press before the game, and he said the players that Winnipeg is fielding tonight, there's maybe 2 projected starters there. So I think you look at that roster, and it's really tough to find a flaw. Maybe their receiving core is a little suspect. You wonder if the running game will be what it should be without Andrew Harris, but they tend to find people. Winnipeg looks like the champion until dethroned. But I think there's almost two tiers in the West, Pete. Mm-hmm. You're looking at Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, and Calgary,
Yep. And
then you're looking at BC and Edmonton. The difference being three teams have a proven quarterback and two don't.
Very true. Speaking of proven commodities, how tough is it for a first-year player to make this Rider squad this year just based on the way the schedule has shaked out? I mean, the two games so close proximity to one another, the coaches probably aren't going to want to take a lot of chances on guys that they haven't seen.
No, and I think coaches tend to default to the veterans unless there's some extreme salary cap ramifications for doing so. But I mean, I remember 2013, last time the Riders played host to a Grey Cup, and you could have almost predicted the roster back 3 days into training camp because they had pretty much stacked that team. This team still has some question marks. Again, we talked about running back. There might be some questions in the secondary. We're still not sure how their linebacking core is going to shake up. But by and large, I think this is a roster that if you were to try and predict it today and then look at the final roster as declared a week from or on the weekend, I don't think there's going to be many real surprises. They've got a pretty good core here, and I think what we're watching tonight is largely what do they do around the periphery. Yeah. We're hoping to get some kind of answer who the number two quarterback's going to be. The first half didn't provide it.
No. Is there anything in particular in the second half you're looking to see, other than obviously sometimes we see an exhibition play an endless litany of offside and procedure penalties with a lot of guys who aren't going to be here next week? But is there a player you're looking forward to seeing or anything?
Well, I want to see more of the quarterbacks. I want to see if they can demonstrate any kind of proficiency throwing the ball on the intermediate routes. Most of the passes that they've tried so far have been shorter routes. They got 20 yards on one play, but it was a hitch screen to Kian Schaefer-Baker. So they really haven't shown much aggressiveness looking downfield. I want to see if there's something in that arsenal. But again, we're dealing with a group of receivers who we largely aren't going to see once the games are for real. So there's that to factor in as well.
Good point. Well, Rob, thank you so much for doing this. Let's do this again on the 11th.
I will attempt to live that long.
Wonderful. You and I both. You and I both, my friend.
Thanks, Pete. Take care.
That's Rob Vanstone, the sports editor for your Regina Leader Post, folks. We will be back with the Halftime Rewind in just a moment. Right here, you're listening to the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
Breaking down the game so far, it's the Halftime Huddle on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
And welcome back to the Halftime Huddle from Mosaic Stadium, everyone. I'm Pete Pasco. Time now to take a look at the Halftime Rewind featuring some of the outstanding plays from the first half. And spoiler alert, if you're a big fan of offense, there weren't a whole lot of those. But anyway, it's brought to you by Johnson's Grain. For all your grain marketing and crop input needs, visit johnsonsgrain.com.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them.
Brown from the gun, takes the shotgun snap, under pressure, and he's down in the sack. Great job there by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and getting through was Herdman Reed. On the line, they'll throw the hit screen to Tevin Jones, a former Jacksonville Jag. Lost the ball, and it's scooped up by the Bombers, because Castillo left for the Elks, and that one is right through the pipes. And the Bombers have a 3-0 lead on the Quality Tire scoreboard. Here's Prukop going deep down the left side for Bailey, and he made the catch. Prukop will work under center with Simpson, the lone setback. They hand it off to Simpson, and he's stopped in the backfield. Backpedaling, though, at his 8th, losing it is Rutledge Jr. He was the last guy to touch it, but the Bombers will start back at their 3. Charm Prokop throws. Where is he throwing that? He threw it to the Dairy Queen. Nobody's there. Guys in line ordering a blizzard, and he got hit in the head. Incomplete. The two-time defending Grey Cup champion Winnipeg Blue Bombers 3, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders nothing.
And there you go, folks. That's the halftime rewind. It's time now to turn things back over to Michael Ball and Luke Mullinder. Thanks for listening. That's our time for the halftime huddle. You're listening to the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.